Juneau's avalanche forecasters are gearing up for winter. The local electric utility and the State Department of Transportation recently reinstalled scientific instruments to help them predict avalanche risk at their largest research site in town. After riding up the Gold Belt tram and taking a short walk, Mike Janes pulls on a harness and climbs up a metal weather tower on the north-facing slope of Mount Roberts in the pouring rain.
Just, can you get me like a box end wrench? Yep. They should be in that red tool bag.
Janes is an avalanche forecaster at Alaska Electric Light and Power. He's reinstalling sensors that will help predict the threat of avalanches once Juneau's famous rain turns to snow. Mount Roberts and Mount Juneau loom over downtown. The steep slopes are marked by a history of avalanches and landslides, written in vertical chutes and tree rings. Avalanches are frequent in Juneau, but only a few have been disastrous. In 1962, an avalanche hit dozens of homes in the Barrens neighborhood downtown.
It is quite fantastic way to wake up at 5:10 in the morning with snow and glass in your face and a screeching wind, smothering with snow all over the place.
That's Murray Walsh, Juneau's former community development director. He's reading a letter from his aunt, whose house was damaged in the 62 avalanche, for a KTOO documentary. And then in 2008, a massive avalanche took out AEL&P's main power line to Juneau, forcing the city to rely on diesel generators for 2 months. Since then, the utility has built barriers to protect energy infrastructure. Jane says avalanches occur when a weak, unstable layer of snow forms, causing the layers of snow that accumulate on top to slide off. The different instruments he installs will help him understand when that weak layer forms and where in the snowpack it is. First, he attaches a snow height sensor to a pole about 15 feet up the tower.
That's vertical. That looks pretty close. I can go just temporarily send it out, and I can always bring it back. It looks like it's not quite lined up.
It sends down sound waves, which bounce off the snow and back to the sensor, measuring its height. Then he hangs a string vertically from the tower. It has nodes to measure temperature throughout the layers of snow. Next, Janes points to an instrument sticking off the side of the weather tower.
So that right up there, probably one of our most important instruments, that white cylinder with the black top, that's a heated tipping bucket, and that measures precipitation.
It's heated to melt snow, so forecasters can measure how much water is in the snowpack. Then he points to a small double-cylinder sensor called a net radiation meter.
That particular sensor is important for understanding when we're getting like weak layers forming at the surface that are going to become problems later.
How? Let's break it down. The Earth gives off heat called long wave radiation, which travels up through the snow and air and then gets reflected back down to Earth by clouds that act as a sort of thermal blanket. But on a clear night, the heat escapes into the atmosphere and can cause the top layer of snow to get really cold really fast. Jane says that makes it become sugar-like.
And then if that stuff gets buried, then it becomes like a future weak layer that avalanches can run on.
This year, AEL&P, the Alaska Department of Transportation, and other agencies will feed all of this data and more into a Swiss snowpack model. Patrick Dreyer is an avalanche and geohazard specialist at DOT. He says using the Swiss model could help Alaskans better predict how layers of snow are forming at high elevations.
That's especially relevant in Alaska, where we have limited high elevation monitoring sites, but we have miles of roadway that we're forecasting for.
He says using the emerging technology can help them make more informed decisions. Those decisions include things like setting off explosives to trigger avalanches before they become too big, or putting up barriers to protect infrastructure in areas where avalanches happen frequently. But Dreyer says there's a lot of variability between where they collect data and all the places where avalanches can occur. Plus, snow dynamics change, so no prediction is perfect. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.